Narayana namaste chanaro jaiva naro tamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam virirayat. Nashta prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhavatu tamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 34. Brahmane kshatra bandurhi griha patpalo nirupita sakatam tadgrihe dvashta Savandam Bhoktum Arhati Brahmane Kshatra Bandhuhi Grihapalo Nirupita Sakatam Tagrihe Dvashta Savandam Bhoktum Arhati Brahmane Kshatra Bandhuhi Grihapalo Nirupita Sakatam Tagrihe Dvashta Samvandham Bhoktum Arhati. Hare Krishna. Alright, word for word. Brahmane, by the Brahmanical order. Kshatrabandhu, the sons of the Kshatriyas. He certainly, Grihapala, the watchdog, Nirupita, designated. Sa, he, katam, on what grounds? Tad grihe, in the home of him, the master. Dvashta, keeping at the door. Savandam, in the same part. Bhoktam, to eat. Arhati, deserves. Translation by the Bankers A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The inexperienced Brahman boy certainly knew that the king asked for water from his father, and the father did not respond. He tried to explain away his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner befitting an uncultured boy. He was not at all sorry for the king's not being well received. On the contrary, he justified the wrong act in a way characteristic of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. He compared the king to a watchdog, and so it was wrong for the king to enter the home of a Brahmana and ask for water from the same pot. The dog is certainly reared by its master, but that does not mean that the dog shall claim to dine and drink from the same pot. This mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order. When we can see that in the beginning it was started by the inexperienced son of a Brahmana. As the dog is never allowed to enter within the room and hearth, although it is reared by the master, similarly, according to Sringi, the king had no right to enter the house of Shamkarishi. According to the boy's opinion, the king was on the wrong side and not his father, and thus he justified his silent father. Om Aginati Vidandasya Gana Gana Shalakaya Chakshu Om Militam Dina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Titanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatika Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बांधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी परममी हरि प्रिये वंचकपतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सुनिभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। नम ओं विष्णुपराय कृष्ण प्रेषिताय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाण प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्य वारि पाश्चात्यादि सितारिणे नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नम्नि गौरतिजये नमः। आनंदलीलमाय विग्रहाय हिमाविधि च विशुंधराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रसपदाय चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते हरे कृष्ण। The translation again, the descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? So this is a statement made by the son of Samakavishi, Shringi, the young, as Srila Prabhupada puts it very aptly, very appropriately, inexperienced Brahmana boy. So he, according to what Srila Prabhupada said in the purport, so Shringi knew that the king had entered his father's ashram and asked for water, and that the father did not respond. So this was already known by him when he made the statement here. The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs. My voice is kind of low because I'm okay. But I'm just surprised to even hear a statement like that made by a so-called Brahmana. The descendants of the kingly orders are designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. This is what happens when somebody gets angry and the sense of equilibrium, the sense of reasoning leaves that person. It's almost as bad as being drunk. Because I've watched people being drunk. I've not been drunk myself, but I know that they become so-called uninhibited. And any kind of statement can come out of their mouths. To designate a king, designated, looking as kings as watchdogs. So what kind of Brahman would this person become? He's young now. But he grows up, and if he's going to go advise some king somewhere, as the Brahmanas were doing, in the back of his mind, he's going to look down on that king like he's some watchdog that's keep himself at the door of a Brahman. This is what happens when false ego kicks in. The statement made by Shringi in one sentence was highly insulting. And then Maharaj Parikshit is also a Rajarishi. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. So clearly Shringi offended Maharaj Parikshit. Albeit because there were some things that happened that led to this. The encounter between Maharaj Parikshit and Samakarishi, Shringi's father. That happened first. But still, we have to be careful when we, as in American terms, we lose it and the things that come out of our mouths, we would regret later. So, a situation which wasn't that serious, Samakrishi wasn't going to get killed by any snake because the snake was already dead. Still, Your boy was looking at it as, you've offended my father. Who are you? You're like a watchdog. All you kings, you just like watchdogs. And the dog does not have the same level of acceptance, based on the body level, that is, not the soul, but the body level, as a human being. Your soul is the same, true enough, in the dog's body as in the human's body, as in the Brahman's body, if you could give that title to him. But still, the inexperienced Brahmana boy knew what the situation was. But rather than look at the situation from both sides, he looked at the situation from his father's side. Similar thing happened to Dhritarashtra. But it came time to appoint a king, and he, because he was blind, was passed over, and his younger brother Pandu was given the kingship. The capital being Hastinapur at the time. He also harbored ill feelings. He, Dhritarashtra, harbored ill feelings. And so when Pandu died, and finally Bhishma was going to be the one to protect the nation, the crown, and for that reason, they gave the kingship to Dhritarashtra. Finally gave it to him. What did he do? He said, I deserve this. Not only do I deserve this, I should have been made king in the first place. And so from a king, the son becomes the next king. He has sons, then the first son becomes the next king. And so that's what he wanted to see happen. This is what happens when people feel some things that they're not happy about, but they keep it inside and make it fester and fester and fester, and then it comes out in a way that's unfortunate for that person himself or herself and people around them too. In this case, Shingi was so attached to his father, just like Dhritarashtra was attached to Duryodhana. I am blind, says Dhritarashtra, but my son is not blind, and he can be king. So then, things just get set up, and it's like, down, from there, it's just a downward spiral. Down, 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 down. And many people will be hurt emotionally. Some people may get hurt physically. As in the case of Dhritarashtra, they wound up, there had to be a war, and people who were not involved in this got killed on both sides. So, this is all about apparat. They have to be very careful as devotees when it comes to apparat. Apparat can ruin our lives. Apparat can break up societies. Apparat can make a temple energy go south. South meaning that go bad, go downward. And sometimes you go to different places, and how you feel when you're there is a great indication of how the devotees relate to themselves. You go to different places, sometimes the mood plays out. If there's a mood of people not relating well to each other, or the false ego being high, it will in fact affect the energy around the devotees in the temple. And at an individual level, people's devotional kripa can also be affected. So we have to be very careful not to offend in general, but especially to offend devotees. Vaishnava Aparat. In Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21, and then there was a discussion. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, chapter 21, text 37. This is about Aparat, and particularly the Aparat done by Dhruvasa Muni on Ambarish Maharaj. Now, before we even talk about it, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just repeatedly stressed the need to protect oneself from offenses unto the lotus feet of Vaishnava. Vaishnava aparad. To protect our creeper of devotional service, we have to particularly be careful not to offend the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada explains that if one commits Vaishnava aparad, offense to Vaishnava, all of his progress in devotional service will be checked. Now look back at what it takes to be a devotee. To chant the holy name of the Lord, to rise early, chant the holy name of the Lord, serve the devotees, serve the deities, abide by the regulative principles. Many of the things that we do, although they are glorious and auspicious, if we compare it to life in this world, we are going against the grain. We have voluntarily cut ourselves from meat, fish, eggs, coffee, caffeine, cigarettes, drugs, all kinds of other intoxications. We have controlled sex life, restricting it to only having children. We go through all of this. And then, because of aparad, we can't even go back to Godhead. What a self-sabotage situation that is. It's very, very unfortunate. So, while we are relating to devotees, and it's very, very important for our success in Krishna consciousness to relate to devotees, sadhu sangha, associate with devotees, still talk about Krishna. We'll have wonderful times to discuss Krishna's pastimes, and it's very, very enthusing. Very enthusing. But when aparad step in, and this in Kali Yuga, the tendency to commit aparad is at its highest. But we have to be very, very, very careful. As His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj said, yes, we are in Kali Yuga, but a devotee doesn't have to live like a life in Kali Yuga. A devotee has to live life like in Satya Yuga, more the goodness life. He said, you will live more the goodness life in this Kali Yuga, because you have to be different. We're not going based on the way things are in this material world. We're going against the grain. We're trying to go back to Godhead. So life in the material world flows one direction and the devotee's life flows the opposite direction. They offend easily. Offense sometimes are even broadcast. But that is not the way a devotee is supposed to live their life. So, Devasa Muni committed Vaishnava aparad to... So when Devasa Muni, he came to visit Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish received him very nicely. But because Maharaj Ambarish had fasted and at the time he had to break his fast, he also had to take care of his guest, Devasa Muni. And Devasa Muni had left, I think, if I remember correctly, to bathe and then come back. So while he was going the river, Ambarish Maharaj asked the Brahmins, the advisors, what to do. Well, they should take a little chanamrit. You haven't really eaten, but then you've broken your fast in one sense. Take a little chanamrit water that's used to bathe the deities. Devasa Muni noticed, even from where he was, because he had mystic powers, that Ambarish Maharaj had done that. And he gets offended, comes back, and wants to literally kill Ambarish Maharaj. Takes one of the hairs on his head, dashes it on the ground, and a huge, ferocious monster with a lot of power appears. The idea is, Devasa Muni wants to kill Amrish Maharaj. Actually, underneath that was envy from Rivas Muni towards Amrish Maharaj, because Amrish Maharaj was popular because of how good a king that he was. So Rivas Muni used that situation to try to get rid of Amrish Maharaj. But Amrish Maharaj says, if this demon is meant to kill me, that Krishna will allow. And if he cannot kill me, Krishna will make sure he doesn't. Rake Krishna Moreke More Krishna Rakete. If Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can stop. If Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. That was Amrish Maharaj's mentality. But what Rivas Muni did was total overreaction and also apparat. And so the Lord sent his Sudarshan Chakra, annihilated the demon, and then came after Rivas Muni himself. Rivas Muni ran away. The Sudarshan Chakra followed Rivas Muni everywhere he went. Rivas Muni had power to go to different planets, even in the material world or spiritual. But wherever he went, the weapon was the Lord's. And as he was running, one full year he ran, even went into Vaikuntha Lokas. And still, the Sudarshan Chakra was there. Now, Rivas Muni was running away from the Sudarshan Chakra, the wheel, which would have cut him up and killed him. But even as the wheel hadn't actually got on him yet, he could feel the heat that the chakra was putting out. So he literally was burning. He was hurting badly as he was running away. And if he stops, then it means that Sudarshan Chakra will actually get on him now, and that will be the end of his life. It is not worth it to commit offense. The bad thing about it is that after going through all of that, trying to change our lifestyle to fit a devotee type of rules and regulations, then we commit apparat, then the entire thing is stopped. Devotional creeper gets weakened and possibly dies. What is the point? What is the benefit? It is self-sabotage. We should never do that. So we always have to be careful what we say to devotees and how we say it. Rivas Muni wound up at Vaikuntha Loka. He went to see Lord Vishnu, explained the situation. Lord Vishnu says, I can't help you. The weapon is Lord Vishnu's weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra. But he told Rivas Muni, I cannot help you. You have to go back to Amrish Maharaj and apologize. So Rivas Muni he didn't have a choice. Either go apologize or get killed by the Sudarshan Chakra. So he did that. He went back to Maharaj Amrish. And Maharaj Amrish didn't even want to accept, out of humility, didn't even want to accept the apology from Rivas Muni. But the point is, Rivas Muni suffered because he committed Vaishnava apparat. So one should be very careful when it comes to dealing with devotees so we do not commit offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava. Now, bottom line, at least from what I've been taught, or what I go by, is don't do anything to get a devotee hurt, to hurt the feelings of a devotee. Sometimes you may have to point out something. Sometimes you may have to say things that are not so nice, but you have to find palatable words to say it. And you also have to watch the mood of the devotee while you're talking to the person. Are they ready to hear it? If they're not ready to hear it, and if they're going to be angry, there's no point talking about that now. At that point, there's no point talking about it, because for that moment, the emotions may, rise up, and they will not be a good exchange. So sometimes it pays to hold off. But if you know what to do and how to say things, then you should say in a nice way, using words that are mild, And the idea is, you do not, you know, want to upset the person. Or the person has a point that they want to say to you, see his point or her point. Not just sit on your own point only, but see their point too, if there's a discussion going on. And with that understanding, end it properly. The aim should always be, when you have a conversation that's even controversial, it should always be such that at the end of the conversation, you and that person, that body, are still friends. You have not broken the friendship, the relationship. Sometimes it gets to a point where if the person is quite upset about what they've heard, even if you use mild words, it makes sense at that point to apologize. You should never feel too big to apologize. Apologize to the person because the idea is to calm down the emotions and possibly change the subject. Possibly talk about things that are positive about that devotee. But definitely shift the mood so that it becomes more pleasant. You should never, ever be resistant towards apologizing. Now, many times by apologizing, a matter gets dropped. It gets ended. So we gotta be careful. Now, sometimes, based on the positions that we have, high positions, in talking to somebody of a supposedly lower position, we might think, oh, because of our position, that we can say whatever we want to say to that person in a not so nice way, because we have more control. This is a situation that happened between Hiranyakashipu, the great demon, and his own son, Prahlad, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In chapter 4, text 28, the Prabhupada describes, of all sinful activities, the offense to a pure devotee of Vaishnava is the most severe. So, it's like, and some of you have heard this before, if not all of you, a mad elephant disease. An elephant that's mad can enter a garden and then nice plants and trees and so on, cause all of them to be uprooted, ruin the garden. Aparad is like a mad elephant doing that. Saying something negative about someone is like throwing trash at them. You don't want to do that physically, throw trash at somebody. But saying something very bad, criticizing them, it's like throwing that negative trash at them. So, if one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahman or Vaishnava, his offenses, they uproot all his auspicious activities. Mad elephant disease. Therefore, we should be careful. We should guard against committing Vaishnava pride. So we have to guard against our moods. And sometimes, yeah, we may get a little upset, but how we deal with it is very, very, very important. So, Hiranyakashipu had received all kinds of benedictions from Lord Brahma. He did austerities and he got that. But, all those benedictions became null and void when he committed the offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. When he committed those offenses, insults and an attempt to kill him. It became an attempt because the Lord protected Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu, the father, was intent on killing his own 5-year-old son. Simply because Prahlad Maharaj was a pure devotee. And he only talked about the Supreme Personality of Godhead wherever he went. And Hiranyakashipu wanted to be regarded as the boss of everything and everyone. And his own son was a pure devotee. And so he didn't like that. That was the only thing that Prahlad Maharaj so-called did. So offenses to the holy name also we have to be very careful about. Titani Charitamrita Adilila, chapter 17, in text 73. Titani Mahaprabhu, Lord Titani is explaining the transcendental glories of the holy name. Now there are 10 offenses against the holy name, but in this particular case, one of his students was unfortunate enough to make the statement that glorification of a holy name was an exaggeration in the scriptures just to induce people to take to the holy name. In other words, the holy name, according to him, that student, said that the holy name has been played up so much so that you take to it. Which means he didn't really believe in the power of the holy name. He thought Lord Chaitanya was just playing it up just so people would take it. But the holy name, according to him, was not that potent. Now, in the Shishastika, Lord Chaitanya has said the Lord has invested all his transcendental energies in the holy name. If all the transcendental energies into the holy name, and the holy name is light, of course not. So, this is a different interpretation of the glories of the holy name. And that's one of the offenses. I think it's the sixth offense. To interpret the glories of the holy name in a different way. It's called Artha Vada. One of the 10 offenses of the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. So, we have to be careful. The Lord actually warned everyone not to see the face of this particular person. And that if you ever saw his face, that they should just go take a bath in the Ganges. Put the clothes on. That's how upset that he was. And he told his students, the holy name is actually identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because the Lord is absolute. Everything about him is him. There is no difference between the person God and his holy name. That's the absolute position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one who distinguishes between the Lord and the Lord's name is an unbeliever or Pashandi. In fact, Srila Prabhupada calls that person an atheistic demon. A demon who doesn't believe in God. In the Mukunda Mala Stotra, thanks to Mother Gita, we talked about the other day when she was preaching. In Stotra, in 51, one can attain pure Krishna prema, Srila Prabhupada is saying, only by chanting without offense. So we should try to chant with great focus. And actually we should beg Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda, beg our Guru in prayer to help us to chant without offense. And I remember my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, one time he was talking about he himself, when he gets ready to chant, he, in the darshan, he revealed to us, he said, before I start chanting, I pray to Srila Prabhupada. And the prayer was rather intense prayer. He says, I pray to Srila Prabhupada to give me a kick so that I can pay attention to the holy name when I'm chanting. This is how he put it. I'm just only repeating what he said. But the bottom line of it is, he wants to chant with full attention. If we take our minds away from the chanting, then that is, we are being inattentive. It's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So whatever it is that takes for us to chant, it takes for us to chant more in a more focused way we should do. The more senses, more of our senses we use in the chanting, the better focus we have on the holy name. If you look at the deity, or even if you print Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in front of your computer, or write it on a piece of paper and have it in front of you, and you're looking at it, and then you engage your eyes in the mantra as part of it, it's one of the senses, Then you're chanting out loud so you can hear. You can greet the ear also. And the tongue is already vibrating the holy name. So that's three senses already in the chanting. And that will help to purify our minds when we're chanting the holy name. So the holy name, Sri Prabhupada says, by chanting it, we gradually become free from all sinful reaction. So at the time of death, about chanting Hare Krishna so many times, we will then be ready to hear Krishna's name in our minds, and when devotees are around to also chant at the time of death, we can think about Krishna, then that death becomes a glorious death. One more point before we open up, and that is guru and disciple. We should never think of guru as an ordinary human being. That is also an offense. As it is also important to think, to know the deity to be the Lord himself. In one lecture being given by Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Srila Prabhupada himself was there at the time. And the disciple said, I think he's one of our gurus now. At the time he wasn't. Srila Prabhupada was the only guru at the time. But training devotees to learn how to preach, he said that Krishna is in the deity. Srila Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is the deity. He's not inside the deity. The deity is Krishna. So we should never think of the deity as made of the material things that we use to make the deity. If the deity is made of stone or metal, and that's how we think about that, the deity in that way, then we are thinking about the deity wrongly. But that's also an offense. So we have to be very, very careful. One of the things that causes offenses is when we want sense enjoyment and don't get it. Lord Vishabhadeva said, give up an endeavor for sense enjoyment. And rather than do that, engage in the service of the Lord. When we associate with devotees, when we listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are sweet in of themselves. When we glorify the Supreme Lord, all the glorification is very, very sweet. We actually feel good ourselves when we do that. And of course, in order not to offend, Lord Vishabhadeva is saying, give up enmity and subdue anger as well as lamentation. Those are the kind of things that sometimes causes us to have our mood swing in a negative way. And then, you know, sometimes we may take it out on the person that's near to us because we're not feeling good ourselves. So there's some things that happen in the world and we just have to tolerate, but especially enmity. One should have no enemies. Even the person that's done wrong to us, we should look at it as a situation where Krishna used that particular person to teach us a lesson. Look at the person as not an enemy, but as a tool that Krishna has used to put a reversal in our life from which we can learn some lessons. But then you don't blame tools. And that way you don't blame tools, and you know you wouldn't blame that person with that kind of mentality. But it is important that we have an opportunity now to be in a human body, get a chance to go back to the spiritual world, and we let aparad get in the middle of that and ruin our chances of going back. We have to take another body. That is most unfortunate. So Sringi was very highly insulting towards Maharaj Parikshit. He was causing aparad at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. We should never ever do that. We should guard against that so that our devotional people would remain healthy and we get a chance to go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much, dear devotees, for listening to this. Aparad is a serious situation, sabotaging situation. If you want to make comments, realizations, questions, please unmute yourself. and let's have some discussion. So the question is, why is there people feeling reluctant to say that I'm sorry, when in fact they could at the time? As it's been explained to us, the false ego is the most difficult one to overcome in our improvement of our own lives as devotees. False ego is very highly prevalent in the non-devotee community because they don't even look at it as false. They don't even know that there's something called false ego. They know ego, but they don't know about false ego. There is the tendency for Maya to have us think that our ideas are best. See, a person that cannot apologize has trouble with humility. And because that person may have trouble with being humble, they think that saying that I'm sorry means lowering themselves or admitting that I'm wrong. When we talked about saying I'm sorry actually diffuses a tense situation. That's what it really does. It doesn't mean that you're less intelligent or your idea was wrong. If we look at apologizing as a way to end an otherwise nasty situation, then apologizing has a very, very important role then to keep us from offending the other person or the other person offending us. In which case, either one devotional creeper is going to get affected. But the reason behind it is just the lack of, you know, the compassion and lack of humility, big false ego, that causes that. And so to work on our false ego is a whole lecture in itself. We think very highly of ourselves, then we don't want to so-called lower ourselves by coming down to a level underneath somebody else and admitting that we were wrong and so on. And they think that that's what apologies do. Or that it gives the opportunity for somebody to look down on us, therefore we apologize. No. It's none of that. Apology actually diffuses bad situations. So if we think about it that way, then we should be ready to apologize and should in all kinds of situations. Hare Krishna. Thank you for asking that question. Yeah, the success as, it's, statement is made by Maguma, the success or failure of our spiritual life, the creepers being successful or not, is very much proportional to or connected with how we treat each other. If we treat each other badly, if one person treats another person badly, then the person that's treated the other one badly has in fact committed an offense but on top of that, they have actually put themselves in a situation where going back to Godhead is being slowly taken away. You have a chance to apologize true enough. You have a chance to serve the person true enough if you want to do that. But we have to be careful that starting that alone, starting something negative, offending, puts us on the road to no Vaikuntha. I wouldn't say road to hell, but no Vaikuntha, which means we stay in the material world for another life. Hare Krishna. Yes, it's very, very, very important. Very, 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 very important to understand that the entire devotional quest, service to go back to Godhead, is spoiled by aparadha. The other reason why that happens is there is so much harmony in the spiritual world. If a devotee's aim is to go back to Godhead, and we don't practice being harmonious in our relationship with people, devotees and non-devotees alike, then why should those in the spiritual world want to relate to a person who is going to bring criticism and trouble and so negative things apparat to them in the spiritual world? There's harmony in the spiritual world. Therefore, if we are an aparadi, an offender, we will not be allowed back. Srimati Radharani will not allow us back. And so it doesn't matter what else we've been doing. That means even the regulated principles and chanting, even if we do that and still offensive, we will have to do another life here in the material world. So we have to be very careful, which means offenses just sabotages everything. It sabotages everything. And it's very, very unfortunate. So we have to be careful, very careful. And thank you for the comment, dear Krishna Prabhu, you made. That aparad was so important that your Guru Maharaj looked at even devotional service coming second and aparad, not committing aparad, being a priority. Yes, that safeguards and makes everything else that we do in devotional service worthwhile if we stay away from committing offenses. Hare Krishna. Any other comments, questions, takeaways? Sometimes there are situations where devotees will say something, they don't see it as offensive, but it's taken as offensive by the person's hearing it. That can also sometimes happen. And that's why devotees, you know, those who've been in it for a while, or those who know about this, they make a general statement at the end of whatever they've said to devotees. If I have offended anyone unknowingly, please accept my apology. They would apologize immediately, because sometimes you don't even know by the statements that you make that somebody's taking it negatively. You don't mean to say it negatively. You haven't used any insulting word, but still it's been taken in a certain mood that is not nice and the devotee is upset about it. So yes, it is always good practice to say, if I've said something that is offensive to anyone, I don't mean to, and I sincerely apologize for that. It's actually good to put it in, especially at the end of whatever statement that's made, especially the ones intended to correct. That's sometimes the one that hurts other people's feelings by how it comes out. But purification is good for all of us. In the same time, we have to safeguard our devotional people. So it should never, ever, ever be feel too big to apologize. If you do that, you still have a false ego problem. An apology won't ruin our whatever so-called dignity. It will not. It won't. Hare Krishna. Any other comments? Last questions or comments or takeaways? If not, I'd like to thank all the devotees for coming on this morning to hear the class. We always learn from each other, especially during the discussion. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is so educated. So have a nice weekend. Some of you that are close to us, we'll see you on Sunday. Pancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sundive eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Glory to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.